Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Amen. All right, are we ready this evening? So we are going to do a few things, and I just want to encourage you to write your questions down. We're going to write your questions so that we will try to answer questions. What I will do is try to see how far we can go and still be able to take questions. Questions reveals the concerns of people. Questions reveal the misunderstandings of people. And so it is important to take questions. Praise God. So we're going to do that. Is that all right? All right. Praise God. Number one. So I'm going to be teaching in numbers so that we can move very fast. Amen. If you're going to have an effective, I will just be flowing, marriage, relationship, anyone that just applies to you. Praise God. If you're going to have an effective marriage, design a marriage that works for you. Amen. What did I say? Design a marriage that works for you. Every kind of marriage does not work for everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some things some people do in their marriage. If you try it in your marriage, it will be a problem. Amen. So design a marriage that works for you. There are some of us that are too culturally, we are just focused on culture. Please listen to me carefully. Marriage, a Christian marriage, has nothing to do with your culture. Did you hear what I said? Please, did you hear what I said? A Christian marriage, the relevance of your culture to a Christian marriage is to the extent of its capacity, that's the capacity of the marriage, to align with the position of Scripture. That is that the moment any culture disagrees with the position of Scripture, that culture stands null and void. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I want you to hear me very well. The Bible says, wives, submit to your own husbands, not to your husband's family. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? You know that thing that people say, our wife. No, you are not our wife. That is not scripture. That is your culture. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And many times, are you getting me? We are silent out of politeness. But sometimes it is uncomfortable for us. And we are unwilling to deal with it. Praise God. So people are struggling with what I'm saying. The Bible says, so shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. It's vice versa also. So shall a woman also. Not be joined to the husband's family. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? I'm giving you an example of some of the cultures we have that is not scriptural. Now, don't overstretch it. I didn't say you will not honor your husband's family or your wife's family. That's not what I'm saying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are demands they should not make on you as a wife, or they should not make on you as a husband. Any demand you choose to honor should be a demand that both of you agreed to honor. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So you don't marry a man and expect him to pay the school fees of your brothers and sisters and cousins. Hello? Is anybody getting what I'm saying? That is not his responsibility. You don't marry a man and gather your whole family because you think he has money. You go and live in his house. He didn't marry your family. He married you. Some of you even go without notice. You are married. Your mother is giving instruction to your husband. Your father is giving instruction to your husband or to your wife. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying here? Let me tell you something. If your brothers are disrespecting your wife or disrespecting your husband, you are the cause. You are the one. You are the cause. Design a home that is unique to you according to the standards of Scripture. You know, many times, what you use culture to gain, culture will also steal from you. And I'm not saying every culture is bad, and I'm not saying everything that is done culturally may be necessarily evil. But what I'm saying is that obey culture as long as it is consistent with Scripture. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Once it gets out of, and of course I mean the positive and the culture that does not have some demonic undertones. Once a culture begins to go beyond Scripture, you have to be careful with that culture. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? And you know, there are many things we do that is just cultural. It's just cultural. It's just cultural. Many things we do is just cultural. So find what works for you and do it. Design, it begins there. You must design your marriage in a way that works for you. Many of you, they tell you, you grew up in a place, they say, don't join money with your husband, don't join money. And you know, when we say culture includes the experiences of people. Don't join money. If you join money with your husband, you are somebody that failed. They are taking their failure and putting it on your head. Design what works for you. Culture is useless without value. Ask yourself, what value is it bringing? What value is it bringing? I told you before, in this church, a woman told me that her husband told her that in the husband's culture, they don't say sorry and thank you to a woman. The thank you on, I have even met it in a culture that is close to me. Someone told me, you don't tell a woman well done. If you tell her well done, she will do worse. She will spoil the thing you said well done. If a woman cooks a nice soup, don't say well done. If you say well done, next time she will overdo. So, it's a culture of lack of appreciation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's a culture that states that you should not appreciate a woman. So understand it. Design a marriage that works for you. There is something unique. You know, like begets like. You didn't come together by mistake.
There were certain values that resonates among the both of you. Design something that works for both of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't have to do morning devotion. You can do night devotion. You're only doing morning devotion because that was what your parents were doing. You can do night devotion. The woman is a banker. You are something else. All of you go out very early by 5. You are out of the house. You say your morning, you must do morning devotion. Do night devotion. Jesus is still alive at night. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You leave early. You come back late. Your devotion should be night devotion. Man of God. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? You say it must be morning devotion. You are running late. You must do morning devotion. Because you only received it. And many times there may not be life in it. Devotion is good, but you don't have to do devotion every day. You can do it 3 times a week. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? I'm saying this with the mind that apart from that family devotion, you also have a personal communion life. That's what I mean. I don't mean that you don't have a communion life, you don't pray, you don't study your Bible on your own, you only rely on devotion, then you reduce the devotion time. That's not what I'm saying. Because some of you, the only thing time you have with God is that morning devotion. And the morning devotion is just religion. Hallelujah. And when you want to have morning devotion, have real devotion. Some of you have used morning devotion as a time to report people to God. You wait for morning devotion to tell God about your husband. So that's why you like to be the one to do the closing prayer. Hallelujah. You have also, it's also something you learned. You carry over. Something you learned. Hallelujah. Find something that works for you. You don't have to always cook. If you can afford it, eat out. From time to time, especially when you don't have many children. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Today is midweek service. If you are both committed to God, you would both be in church for this midweek service. Who is the one that will cook? I have seen situations, let me tell you, I've seen situations at 9 o'clock. I went to people's house, the woman is pounding her. After service, I hope you know that pounded yam is one of the foods that you should not eat in the Old Testament. I've never understood people who eat pounded yam constantly. You eat pounded yam twice in a year, between January and June, and then between July and December. That's just eat pounded yam twice. Because I can't understand you eat pounded yam and pray. How? How did you pray? After you ate pounded yam, you prayed. You eat garri and you wake up. And some of you don't just eat it. You throw it off. Some of you don't throw it off. You punch it. You are showing the way you suffer to get the money. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you came to a service like this. Why must you go and cook? So the woman is in church now. She's calculating. Hallelujah. Design something that works for you. Young people, listen to me. Many times you are too much in love to think. You are too much in love to think. So you want to quickly just marry. You want to marry. Whatever happens after we marry, we'll just find a way to. You will be shocked too. This guy is telling you. This guy is telling you that I eat pounderdam every night. In your mind, you are thinking that the pounderdam will fall from heaven. You don't know what he's telling you is that get ready to pound yam. And I hope you know that it's not everybody that eats poundo.
you don't know anything.
Can I say something? Let me say something. If you are a young girl, wave your hand to heaven. If you are young, you are single. But I think you are a single girl.
People, next time I ask a question, you don't respond. I will take it personal. I'll be talking on stage, you'll be take it serious. Listen to me. If you're a single girl, marriage is very hard. Nobody might have told you. I know you think it's an escape. I know you think that by the time you have your own home, you will run it the way you want. Before I finish, they tweaked it out of my mouth. You actually think that you're going to run it how you want. You will be very surprised. Sort these details out early. It's not only women that know how to pretend when they want to marry you. Men also know how to pretend when they want to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Both of you are two pretenders trying to deceive the other person into marriage. When you enter the marriage and you know that the way out is not easy, you will now manifest who you truly, fully are. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nobody in relationship, nobody is as generous as they look. It's very generous. Nobody is as generous as they look. Nobody is as simple. All this one that he's forgiving everything. Nobody is as, he's not that forgiving, no. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nobody is that forgiving, no. They are not that forgiving, no. Your way out is agreement. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When they are doing incorporation for you, when lawyers write certain things, they put what is called the omnibus clause. The omnibus clause, that is where you see let's assume they say the nature of business the person is doing is selling of palm oil. Then they will add importer, exporter, general merchandise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just explore every possibility. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Because time is a revealer. And when you marry, it's a game against time. Amen. Are we together? The other day, Pastor Ocho was talking, he talked about written agreement. Agreement is good. But agreement only happens when people communicate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When people cannot communicate, they cannot agree. When people do not communicate, they cannot agree. So therefore, one of the things that you must work on is you must work on the ability to communicate. That is, you must build communication. A family that will succeed will be a family that communicates very well. And I said on Sunday that what kills a marriage is not necessarily the absence of sex, but the absence of communication. When there is lack or bad communication. So there are certain kinds of communication that is not communication. Whether in relationship or in marriage, there are certain kinds of communication that is not communication. Communication in, for those of you who did either general studies or those of you who did language and linguistics, they will teach you that communication happens when one party sends an information to the other party and the other party receives it and understands what this party intended and then responds. That is when communication has taken place. Is that all right? But there are certain things that are not communication. Number one, information is not communication. Praise God. What did I say? Information. Do you know you can give somebody information? Hallelujah. So you are the man, you are going out in the morning, you say, I'm going out. What does that mean? What have you done? Guys, what have you done? You have given what? Information. Where are you going to? How long are you going to be there? Is there a possibility of going somewhere from there? Are you getting me? And the woman, most of you don't ask. I have a problem with young women. They don't ask any question. Okay, I'm going out. Sekadao. When the person is not back by 11 p.m., and you call the person and say, ah, is it okay? I've not seen you. You're not back. The person, did I not tell you that I'm going out? Are you understanding what I'm saying? If somebody gives you that kind of information, you have a responsibility to ask questions. Amen. If the person decides not to give you details, what he has chosen to do is to give you information. And information is not communication. Are we together? I said, are we together? Yes. Information is not communication. Anybody can give you information. If a bandit tells you, come and carry, bring ransom and carry this thing at this spot, do you have anything to say? I'm asking, do you have anything to say? If a bandit says that the ransom is 5 million, bring the money to this place. Are you having a discussion with the person? No. So, only people who have relationship can have communication. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Only people who have relationship means communication. Many people are not communicating. Amen. Number two, a command, especially men. Men, you know, when you give a command, all you expect from a command is what? Obedience. Some men run their homes on commandments. Commandments. Mama is shaking her head. Mama, except the Lord builds the house. This shaking your head, you are shaking like it cannot happen. It cannot happen. You will be shocked.
Hallelujah. Some people run their homes on commandments. So let me say this to you. If you run your home on commandments, all you are going to have are the animals you have kept. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. It's only animals you give an instruction to. So your house will just be filled with monkeys and dogs. Tell the man beside you, calm down. Calm down. If there's a man beside you, tell him, calm down. I don't know who you are doing anger for. After you come out like that in the morning, you are commanding everybody. Then in the night, people are so many. So come, me. I don't like pretense. I don't like pretense. That's why sometimes they want to punish you so that they will really humble you. What is the? Look at the sister. She's crying like she doesn't want to laugh. Hey, calm down, sister. Laugh. This service is for laughing. Laugh. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Calm down. Let me say something to the men. Only women have the privilege of being women. Let me explain to you. In the spirit, there is no woman. So God has given. I want to say something, but you have understanding. God has given these our brothers the opportunity to be women in this world. When we leave this world, we are all men. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why you are a man, but she is a woman, which means there's a man inside every. That is why when a woman begins to take a hard stand, it is difficult for a man to live with it because now she's becoming him, because there's a him in her. And many times you don't want to see that man in the woman. Two women can live together easier than two men. So I want to, are you hearing what I'm saying? It is to your advantage to develop that woman in the woman. If not, you will end up with another man. Let me help you explain. A woman can do a lot of things a man can do. But there are a lot of things a woman can do. Men cannot do it. Are we together? So please listen very carefully. So a command is not a dialogue. And let me say this, one of the weaknesses of women is if you are willing to talk to them. Now, I didn't say every woman gives opportunity for talking. Because I'm going to show you something. But if you can get a woman to talk, to open up and talk, you have almost won her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you can get a woman to talk, I'm not saying she's fighting. I'm saying she's talking. You have almost won that one. Criticism is not a discussion. You know, I told you some people have the gift of criticism. It is a spiritual gift. It is found in the book of Maps and Measures, chapter 17. Some people have it actually as a spiritual gift. There are some people that there is nothing you do that is good enough. There's not some people. How many of you know that there are some people who have the spiritual gift of criticizing everything? Do you know criticism is to pull down? There's a difference between criticism and critiquing. When you critique a thing, that is that you make a general analysis, an appreciation of that thing. You talk about the strength of the thing. Is that okay? And you talk about the weakness of the thing. So, the woman cooked. She put big pieces of meat for you. You didn't see the meat that she put. It was the salt that was too much that you noticed. So, when you rise up to correct it, this soup is too salty. Start with, thank you for this size of meat. Nobody has even ever given me since my mother gave back to me. But I think that we should work on the salt. Praise God. The way some women are nodding their head, clap for me now. It says, clap for me. But if all that you saw was the too much of salt or the too much of pepper or the too much of oil or the too much... Let me go and preach on this side. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, there's something very interesting. You know, I hope you know that we all come from different backgrounds. If you got married when you were 30, it means that you probably were eating your parents' food for 20 years, 25 years. Is that right? So you are designed actually for something. It will take a while for the person to make that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So sometimes in criticizing people, you have to appreciate where they are coming from. One sister did Danwake for me. This sister is a good Danwake maker. She was in church. Good Danwake maker. So one day she did Danwake for me. I used palm oil. I used to enjoy, but one day she put palm oil in the Danwake. The issue is that where she's coming from. Pam, are you understanding what I'm saying? That is that. So is you are the one that is a problem. Are you getting my point? To somebody, it's not a problem. That's how it is. Amen. And it's not only men that criticize. In fact, may you not fall into the criticism of a woman. Jesus Christ. The woman will begin by criticizing your motive. Have you been fighting with a woman and you mistakenly brushed her and she maybe fell or something. Kill me. I know you have wanted to kill me. You have always, that was your plan, to kill me. Can I say something outside of what I'm teaching? In your relationship and your marriage, don't forget you are a Christian. Let your mouth be salted. Hallelujah. Let your mouth be what? Be salted. That you might what? Minister grace. Some of you can say things to people that they can meditate over it for 1 year. Most of the bitterness in marriage is what somebody said to somebody. In fact, can I share something with you? You know, you war in the times of peace. What I mean is that part of the way to fix things is when things are well. So if you and your husband are going well, if you're a woman, call him and tell him, please tell me the worst things I've told you. You will be shocked. You will be shocked at if they told you what you told them. You'll be shocked. Especially if they tell you their interpretation of what you said. Because you know, sometimes when we are angry, and for those of us that know how to talk, when we know we cannot fight with our hands, we talk to injure the other person. You talk with the intention to injure. And just like you can injure somebody physically, and it may take some time to heal, so also you can injure somebody emotionally or injure the person psychologically, that it may take time for the person to heal. And listen to me. Many times, the fastest, are you hearing what I'm saying? Is for you to withdraw certain things you have said. Let me tell you something. You can say something, right? You can say something that you will see the effect of that thing 10 years from now. You can say something, if you're not careful, the effect of what you said will show up 10 years from now. When you fight, be measured. When you disagree, be measured. Don't say things that you can't take it back. And things that will hold your destiny many years from now. Part of the reason why sometimes men don't respond to you is not that they also cannot respond to you. It's just that, you know, sometimes women have a natural capacity to misunderstand you. A natural capacity. So what you mean is this, and they know what you mean is this. Who knows what I'm talking about? Even you that you are not married, you know what I'm talking about. But when they stand to interpret, and is an intent, they have their own interpretation. It's like you have gone through that. When they stand to interpret what, and that interpretation is personal to them, and the interpretation is meant to hurt you. Hallelujah. So when people talk, there are people that are conversational monopolizers. You are talking with somebody, they will not give you space to say anything.
Have you ever talked to somebody like that?
When they are talking, you give them space to talk. When you start talking, they interrupt it from. So sometimes you just come to a point, you talk. It's not communication. And people like that are naturally people who are defensive. They want to justify every. They refuse to reason. Are you hearing me? If you are like that, learn. If you are dealing with somebody like that, understand. The major reason is that such people have. That's nothing you're going to say. They've made up their mind. There is nothing you are going to say that will make sense. So actually, there is no need to talk. And it is born out of two things. One is born out of pride. It's born out of pride. They don't want to give an opportunity that will show that they are wrong. You know, there are people who have what is called the shame syndrome. Everything shames them. You know, there are things that can happen between you and somebody. You will laugh about it. You goofed. You made a mistake. You know, you did something wrong. Is that okay? You can apologize. You can both make a joke out of it. Are you getting my point? You can, but some people don't have the capacity to accept their wrong. Is a major failure that they are wrong. Now, what people don't understand is that you will never learn in life if you are never wrong. Learning comes by failing. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So, the moment you begin to accept that you are wrong in life is the moment you begin to grow. So, but some people are defensive. You come here, they have a reason. You come here, they defend it. You come here, so you get to a point where you stop saying anything. So you see, some people are quiet in their homes. It's not because they love silence. It's just because every communication comes at a cost. Especially if you are married to somebody that is intelligent. How many of you have intelligent people? Extremely intelligent people. Amen. So there are some people that just monopolize. They don't give you the opportunity to say anything. They talk and talk and talk. Every time you begin a conversation, they are the alpha, they are the omega, and the in between. You are lost in the too much of talk. Hallelujah. And then there are people who they call them conversational narcissists. Everything is about them. Everything is about them. It's about how they were hurt, how they were pained, how to. It's about them. Do you have anybody who is about everything is about them? Don't raise your hand. Everything is about them. You know they say it takes two to tango. No, in their own case, you are always the only one. You start a fight, you fight, you finish the fight all by yourself. They were just hot. If you are like that, eccentricism is not good in a relationship. Let me tell you something. How to kill a relationship that looks alive. Let the relationship be about you. When the relationship is about you, the relationship may be ongoing, but the other party has detached from you. Okay. Me, I like this service because I have a lot of people confirming everything I'm saying. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that have detached from the people they are either married to or having a relationship with because everything is about the other person. Everything is about the other person. You are the one that visits, you are the one that buy gifts, you are the one that calls, you are the one that everything, you are the one. You are the one. When they weigh relationship, are you hearing me? You just discover that like you are doing 80% and the other person is doing 20%. You are not in a relationship. You are actually in a ship, but there is no relay in that. Amen. Abba, when was the last time you decided to do something creative for your partner, even if it doesn't cost money? Many people don't do any, you are just like the Dead Sea. Your favorite scripture. I will open my mouth wide so that you can feel it. See my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and feel. Abba. You're always the one that needs emotional support. You're always the one that needs attention. You're always the one that needs visitation. You're always the one that needs money. You're always the one. Always you are the one. Praise God. No, there's nothing like you can't be in a, you know what, some people are with others, but they're in a relationship by themselves. Because what you're actually doing is that you are living with an ideal. You're not living with a reality. You are doing, let me not go into some things today. You are doing certain things for hope. Is hoping. You are living with hope. You are the one that planned dinner. You are the one that... Are you hearing what I'm saying? You better be careful. You know what happens to people who live in a relationship that they live with an ideal in their mind? Have you ever heard of somebody that the person just packed? They didn't know where he went. Just come home. It's called the person has packed and left. Have you heard of people like that? Have you heard of people who nothing happened? No, nothing happened. They just wake up in the morning and say, it's over. And you do everything you can do. What happened was that they kept waiting and waiting and hoping that one day, are you understanding what I'm saying? And they came to a realization that it will never happen. If you are single, don't marry hope. If you are single, don't marry hope. You know some people, even when you teach them, you know, you can do something like they are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Don't marry hope. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What did I say? Don't marry hope. Don't marry hope. And a lot of young people marry hope. Three things a woman or a man wants from a woman or from a man. Three things. Now, these three things are the same things. But men want it differently or in a different order from the way women want it. Number one. The first thing a woman wants from a man is a father. Hello, guys. The first thing a woman wants from you is what? Is a father. When you hear a woman, the only way a man can love a woman unconditionally is that he's a father. So when you hear a woman say she wants unconditional love, she's not calling for husband. She's calling for father. So the first thing a woman wants from a man is a father. Hello? A father provides. Are you hearing me? In fact, a father is the picture of the complete man. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? A father is the picture of the complete man. A proper father. Let me qualify it. A proper father is the picture of the complete man. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the first thing a woman looks for in you is a father. She's not looking first and foremost for a husband. A man looks for a wife first. That is the reason why. When a woman has an issue with you, she wants to resolve the issue, then other matters. You understand what I mean by other matters? Anybody understand? Joseph, why are you understanding? Joseph, you understand other matters. When a man wants the other matters, we can resolve. You are too spiritual. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you fight with your wife, the speaker is chasing me away. Now, when you fight or you have disagreement, a man can still minister with disagreement. He can still do ministry. And if with the disagreement, he wants to do ministry, and if the ministry works out well, disagreement will be resolved. But the woman is waiting for disagreement to be resolved before ministry takes place. But the apostle settled it. He said, we shall give ourselves to ministry first. So let me stay close to you as I minister in this dimension. I ask for the protection of the courts. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Please, are you seeing the switch? It is your father that when you're angry, your father will call you and say, what's the problem? Isn't it? That's father. Father says, what's the problem? He talks through the problem with you. Amen. So please, when there's an issue to resolve, since I'm holding the microphone today, settle ministry matters. We shall give ourselves to ministry. Praise God. John, why are you doing hallelujah? Praise God. It's the fastest way to resolve the problem. Sometimes. Please, what's happening here? Sometimes the ministry is the problem. But you're not understanding. Sometimes the lack of the ministry is the problem. So the problem is not the problem, my brother. You are a great preacher. There's no problem.
Hallelujah. It's actually no problem. Now, if you are single, I'm not preaching to you. Yes, you can stay confused for now. I'll get back to you in a minute. Hello, are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes There is no problem. It's just the absence of ministry. I sat down with a couple. I discuss. I enter here. We followed it. We didn't find problem. We entered there, we followed it, we didn't find problem. Finally, the Holy Spirit ministered to me. So I said, okay, we will continue this conversation later, another time. So I prayed for them. As they were leaving, I called the wife. I said, come. I did as if there was something I forgot. I said to her, you see, there's ministry problem. You know that miracle Jesus did, I chased everybody out of the room. There were some people actually in that meeting. I chased everybody. Then I spoke to her one-on-one. Two days later, guess who called me? It was not the woman. The man sent me a glorious text message. And it was the man that reported the matter. The word works. You know, those are my assistant pastors. They are worse than me. These pastors, they are seen like this. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the first thing a woman looks for in a man is a father. But the first thing a man looks for in a woman is a wife. Amen. So when you are, there are times that you must, as a man, you must learn to be a father to your wife. Praise God. It's not every time that is burning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are seasons that you are there to just listen. Actually, you are thinking of what is happening in the office, but just be saying, how can it? Okay. You are thinking of house rent. Oh. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something. I will not tell you. Hallelujah. I will not tell you. Amen. Can I say something to our sisters? Just the last point I'll make. Time is gone. In being a wife, differentiate being a wife and a mother to your husband. I don't have time to go through everything. Differentiate being a wife and a mother. There are seasons your husband actually wants you to be a mother. But there are seasons you can be a mother to your husband. The Bible says that when Rebecca came, she took the place of Isaac's mother. The Bible says she comforted him. She took the place of Isaac's mother. Are you hearing me? But let me help us. Especially those northern women. Your husband. Yeah, Dr. Matilda is looking at me like, please, like, Pastor, just say what you want to say. the actual picture your husband wants to see you in his mind is not wife, it's girlfriend. Where are the men in the house now? Encourage the man of God. Men have suffered. How many men here married and you were hoping one day that this woman will wear wrapper across her chest? How many men? Did it occur to you that it was going to happen then? As well, those ones that have those pajamas. Right. An American pastor, a female pastor, did a research. The research she did, the town where they live, there are some cities in the UK and America that are very demonic. For instance, if you go to England, you go to Manchester, they have what they call the red light district. It's an area like you take to Freenow. The only thing they do there is prostitution. So if you enter that area, you can see women walking naked. If you enter that area, if you go to, is it Holland or where? If you go to Holland, one of these countries, you will pass a street where there are women, the room is glass. There is sex taking place live. You can see it. So there are cities like that. So that church was in like one of those cities. So they noticed that the church guys were always going to that place. So the pastor decided to call two prostitutes and interview them. And the question was simple. Why do our men like going to you? The women laughed. They said, because we are willing to do things that you men are not willing to do. You know, there are some men that think that have concluded that marriage is a trap. There are some things, you know, I can't say in this meeting. But you get the gist. You know where I'm going to? The men's fellowship leader is agreeing with me. I don't have anything else to say. Look at you. That sister is very fine. That one, look at the way you're fine. Look at the way you made your hair. Do you know makeup? It's a Thursday evening for crying out loud. Which of these boys will resist me just joining you people now after this service? You know, there are powers conferred upon me to do that. Now, anybody who is, let me tell you something. Any man that is coming to you, in his mind, this is how you always be. Am I telling the truth? Please, men, am I telling the truth? In their minds, Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go and ask your husband, how do you, you know, I've always said it in church, you people don't get it. 85% of the hair you are making, sisters, you are making it for yourself. There was something that attracted that man to you. And somewhere in his mind, that's where how he wants to see you. That is why, okay, go ask your husband, which kind of hair should I make? I promise you, it will be the kind of hair you were making around the time he met you. If you are not making hair, it will still be that hair you didn't make. That's what you say. Men love their girlfriends. Ebo, are you hearing me? You are hearing me, man. You may not be able to maintain your shape and size. 10 years from now. 10 years from now. But do your best. Are you hearing me? Let us not see you and not recognize you. When I was a younger man, I was very spiritual. When I had this kind of preacher, I said, oh, many, what's all this carnality that they are talking about? Now I'm an older man. I have agreed. The demons that I agree. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I was a younger man, when they teach this kind of thing, I said, many, what's this carnality they are teaching church? Let me tell you, I didn't used to like Reverend Barnes. Some of the things he used to say in this church. Now, I've repented. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you. You know, Ba, men are very simple creatures. So it's very easy to minister to a man. It's a woman that you don't know. There are some, let me tell you something. There are simple things you will do that will make a difference. Small things. No, I'm not talking about, you know, the Bible talks about wicked and unreasonable men. I'm not referring to that group of people. There are people that no matter what you are, and it's both men and women, no matter what you do, that you can't please them. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about an average person. Just that you help him tie his tie. Are you getting what I'm saying? That you help do his nails. No, I'm telling you something. Especially you newly married girls. It's not every, let me help you something. It's not every man that likes food. You'll be killing yourself in the kitchen that you want to impress man. It's not every man that is a foodie. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, yeah, the way to a man's side is through his stomach. And I've been trying to close this. Let me not say, let me close. Let me just say this. The older a man gets, for those of you that are married, men that are getting to late 30s, going to their 40s, 50s. Let me even leave 30s, 40s. The older a man gets, the things he wants changes. The older a man gets, he wants sex less. The thing he didn't want when he was younger, attention. He wants attention more. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When a man is young, he's crazy about sex. When a man is older, he wants attention. When a woman is young, she wants attention. Let me not tell you what she wants when she gets older. As you're part of the reason for the friction is that you don't realize that the man has changed. Because when a man begins to get older, he's thinking, he's beginning to think, what am I going to leave behind? He's beginning to think legacy. When he's young, he's just enjoying himself. When he begins to get old, he's thinking legacy. So he's more strategic. He picks his battles. Everything, are you understanding what I'm saying? The things that are going on in the life of that man is different from when he was younger. If you you have this idea that everything is just food or it's just sex, you miss it. It's the reason why men tend to outgrow the woman. Because the woman stays in what she knew about the man. But the man has moved on. Can I stop? God bless you. Okay, I'll take questions. Let's have our next one.
All right, sir, I have a question here. So you talked about us not marrying hope. This must be a lady. But what is the difference between, sir?
Can be a man.
There was a difference between hope and faith, where he is very visionary.
Okay. The Bible says that by their fruits we shall know them. If you say you are visionary, we will see the fruit of your visionariness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We will see the steps you are taking in the direction of your vision. Vision is not in the air. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Somebody says he has vision. He sleeps from morning till night. When you come, he's sharing ideas with you. Say, no, when we get married, I'm going to be building a 7-bedroom flat. Your kitchen is going to be bigger than the sitting room. And he has been sleeping from morning till night. That is not vision. Men of vision do something. They are building, it may be small, but they are building something. The direction is clear. There are steps that are being taken. There is a comportment of a man that has vision. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. When you see a man without restraint, when you see a man living anyhow, he doesn't have vision. So, vision is not docility. Some people think that if they say he's a man of vision, you can marry him, it means he's not doing anything, he's an NFA. See, even concerning your vision, you need to build towards your vision.
Thank you, sir. Please, sir, you made mention of two women can stay together than two men. Please, sir, I need more explanation on these two women staying together without a fight. It is hard in this generation, better than men.
You want an example of two men that are living together? Martha and Mary. That's not a question related to this discussion. What I was simply trying to say is that if two men have conflicts, is women compromise more than men do. I'm not saying that in every situation women are always. I'm not just saying that women. There's a way women don't see everything in black and white. Men can see things in black and white. Women, are you getting what I'm saying? Women have more space for this thing. This is not a question related to this discussion. Please ask me only questions related to marriage or relationship.
Okay. According to Romans 5 verse 5, which says, "And hope maketh no shame." Can I still not marry based on hope?
You didn't ask that question. There are three scriptures that you need to apply to this scripture. You don't build a doctrine on one scripture. Praise God. You don't build a doctrine on one scripture. Even that scripture, read it down. The Bible says, "For if we hope for that which we do not see." So you didn't finish. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Is that all right? So the intention of God is not for you to sit in hope. The intention of God is for you to arrive at faith.
Hope is something you hope is. What is hope? Hope simply means desire. And you don't enter into your desire based on hope. You enter in by faith. So your scriptural listing is not complete.
Thank you, sir. How do one keep staying with a defensive man even when he is at fault, sir? Do I, as a woman, keep changing also to suit the man's need as he ages? What about my own personality?
Stop fighting. If a person is defensive, stop fighting. You are fighting because you want to bring the person to a point of understanding. And the person has decided he won't understand. Stop fighting. Just stop fighting. Don't waste your energy on fighting. Move on. Take the person, commit him to his Lord in prayer, and move on. Stop fighting. Auntie, Dr. Helen taught me something many years ago. That wisdom this woman gave me has not left me. She said to me one day, she said, sir, when somebody wants to fight you, don't enter the ring. When somebody wants, she said, don't enter the ring. He said, when you don't enter, he has nobody to fight. Stop trying to get. Stop it. The problem is not the person, the problem is you. Yes, sir.
Pastor, sir, you spoke about men not being the commanding type in their homes. But I have heard of so many ladies saying...
You didn't hear me well. You were between what I was saying and a command I was giving to you. That's why you didn't... I specifically made that reference to men.
Yeah, so, but I have heard of many ladies saying they want a man that will always be in charge, a man who will always be in control. Does this mean they want a man who is an authoritarian?
That's not what they mean. The way they are saying it is the problem, but that's not what they mean. What they simply mean is that they want a responsible man. That's what they mean. And let me say this, please. Let me, women, listen to me. Many times women talk, but they don't communicate. Women can talk, but it does not mean that they are communicating. Many times, you say something different from what your intention actually is. It's another thing that generally women, you know, what they simply mean is a responsible man. So do you want a man that doesn't take charge? Praise God. So, what they mean is just that they want to marry a responsible man. That is it. A strong person. Not controlling. Let me tell you something. There is no control. Let me tell you this. There is nothing like control in marriage. I'm telling you the heart of scripture. There's nothing like control in marriage. You control in a strict sense. You control things and animals. You don't control people. You persuade men. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You persuade men. You want to do something with your wife. You bring the thing. You explain it. Are you getting me? She's not cooperating. You make it a prayer point. You bring it up again. All this control is not scripture. I'm just being truthful to you. All this idea of control is not scripture. Because let me tell you, because when you hear the word control, is what the Bible calls witchcraft. There's nothing like control. Nobody controls the other person. Women too, they try to control. Women also control. But women are greater controllers than men. It's just that women control indirectly. Women try to control indirectly. A woman will control you with her mood. A woman will control you with her body. A woman will control you. So women love control. So when I say things like that, let the men not think I'm saying you are the only one who controls. It's just that the way a man controls and the way a woman controls, I can see Shadrach has relaxed. The way a man controls and the way a woman controls are very different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But there's nothing like control in marriage. Control becomes witchcraft. God did not, that's why you will hear, listen, when you go to Genesis, God said you should have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the air, over this. God never told you to dominate any man, any human being. You can assert yourself. There may be seasons to assert yourself. Are you understanding me? Especially men, there may be seasons to assert yourself. But differentiate assertion and control. Control and manipulation are related. And God didn't create you to control anybody.
Thank you, sir. So you said oftentimes men want a wife and a woman wants a father.
I said the first thing.
Apparently, women and men's expectations differ.
Yes.
How do you draw the balance?
How do you draw the balance? It's give and take. The man should think towards his wife when he, are you getting me? Should think towards his wife as a father. The woman should also know that this man, are you getting me? I need to relate with him as my husband.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for today's teaching, sir. You said we should be salty in our relationships and marriage.
We should be what?
Salty, as in our words should carry salt. So my question is, how do I withdraw the bad words and things I have said to my spouse?
Okay, that's a very important question. I have told you. Sometimes in talking, you may not even know the things you've said. You will say certain things and move on and not even remember the things you've said. Are you hearing me? There are two ways to go about it. Number one, go and meet the person. Since the Lord has ministered to you that you have used bad words, go and meet the person. One way is to ask the person and be sincere about it. That I believe I have said certain things that have been utterly told you. I want to repent. I repent of it. Is that okay? Another one is, even sometimes the Bible says confess your faults one to another. Sometimes it's the person to tell you. Ask if you can take it, because some people cannot take their mistakes. But if you can take your mistakes, say, I don't repeat them. Can you tell me some of those things I've said to you before? And repent of it. I repent of it. Apologize. Pray about it that God will touch their heart to let go.
Thank you, sir. Sir, you mentioned if a man gets a woman that talks or communicates, he has got her. What if the man is not the talking type?
That is not what I said. What have you been hearing this evening? When you're asking questions, when we tell you, go and collect the tape and listen to you, not. I said, if you can get the woman to talk. I didn't say if you get a woman that talks. May you not get a woman that talks. Can get her to talk, to open up. Huh? can get her to open up and speak her heart. You know, there are a lot of women that don't, the man doesn't know their heart. Doesn't know. If your son, let me tell you something, one day if your wife tells you something, shock will catch you.
Sir, how do you deal with an unromantic husband?
That question is called the Ancient of Days. It's the only question that have not been answered. So, you have mentioned the nature of that man. Hallelujah. Let me say something quickly. Is that all right? And please, let me say this. Don't misunderstand me. Because when somebody begins to, part of, when somebody begins to want to explain something to some people, they don't understand. Now, most of the ideas of romance that women have is what they saw in movie. When I was in secondary school, me and one sister, we were walking, there was some, we're going towards all these labs. So in that place, there's a lot of open space, grasses. So you know this, when wind is blowing and grass bends, this long grass, the sister just said, how romantic. So that word romance, we have not found the definition of it yet. We're still looking for the definition of what romance is. Because you see these four ladies living here, all of them have a different definition of romance. This one, romance means we go somewhere, sit down on a bench. Are you hearing me? And as I'm speaking, I'm giving ideas to some men. It means you just spoiled what I'm about to say. Somebody means just go out somewhere in the bush, sit down. Cyprus. I'm telling you, that's what romance means to one person. The way you are looking at me, like the way this one is looking at me, I know what romance means to her. I learned it 3 years ago. But I will not tell. Somebody there told me something that romance means that may be applicable over here. The person said, give me money. So to somebody, that is what romance means. Romance has to do with your love language. Are you hearing me? Somebody just wants you people to stay at home, play music, and the person just lie down on your body. That is romance to somebody. Somebody is take her out for dinner. So this romance, it means different things to different people. Some people, you take them out for dinner. Especially African women, you take them out for dinner, they criticize everything that was cooked in that place. They don't know how to even properly are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people, you can do romance this evening, you know, as we are closing from this service, just hold her hand like this and walk home. Don't take bike, leave the car here. Look at the way I'm holding you. You're not even romantic. I'm holding your hand. You're just following me. Some people, romance is breakfast in bed. Where they learnt it, we don't know. But you see, meals and boons has done us damage. All those things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, let me say something. Let me teach you this. Let me share this. Please, sisters, listen to me. Most of the men you are seeing here, they never saw romance demonstrated by their fathers. Let me see the hands. I'm not saying it's impossible. But if your father was what we call romantic, raise your hand. No, I didn't say there is none. Just raise your hand. If your father was what people of today call romantic, raise your hand. Now, look at the number of people that claim. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at the number. Listen to me. The majority of African men in Africa, there is nothing like romance in the dictionary of Africans. Let's be sincere. And it is difficult for people to model what has not been done in their presence. I mean, it's difficult for people to practice what has not been modeled for them. I'm telling you. Children don't do what their parents say. Children do what their parents do. Within the African cultural context, if a man brings food, he pays rent, he sends children to school, he is a romantic man. The rest is your problem. He is a romantic man. That is why every time you come, you are saying something. They say, am I not providing? Because that is what, are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting me? So, many times, the transitioning is not easy. Let me even tell you something. When men see another man doing what you call romance, men ridicule that man. It is the greatest hidden secret you don't know. That the major opposition to what you call romance is other men. What you call romance to an African man is a show of weakness. So I don't know whether you understand the transitions an African man needs to make to become romantic. He has to be delivered from what his father didn't teach him. He has to be delivered from what his peers and friends will talk about. The only time an African man is romantic is when he wants to marry. And some of them, they receive grace. After that, they continue. Hallelujah. But, and then some of you, it's difficult to be romantic with you. Wallahi, it's difficult to be romantic with you. Very, very difficult to be romantic with you. Because, you know, I said something on Sunday. Part of the African woman's problem is that she doesn't appreciate this. So sometimes even when a man is trying to do something, your attitude, the way you talk to him, and it kills that romance in his heart. If you sit down with your husband and ask him, how many times did he try to do something and you killed it? You'd be surprised. It takes a man. I was listening to John Piper. You know John Piper. I was listening to him this morning. And it's a recent, the message he did, I think, was yesterday or today. He said that he took his wife out for dinner. That what his wife told him, he was teaching in a school. He said what his wife told him at the dinner, that he has been crying since that day. Let me teach you two something. Men don't, the way you appreciate a man is not the way a woman receives appreciation. There are things a man really doesn't care about appreciation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me teach you something. Thank you is not appreciation to a man. That you said thank you is not appreciation. A man, your attitude is a man's appreciation. Men, am I talking? Your attitude is the appreciation you do for a man. If your husband goes and buys fish and brings it home, the meaning of it is that he wants to eat fish, a soup that has fish inside. If because you have some ideas, one wonderful idea in your head, You want to do onion soup. And then you left the fish he bought. And you went to do onion soup. He will eat it all. But he's not happy with you. You are not understanding what I'm saying. When, if your husband buys clothes for you, wear it. Somebody, your husband will buy clothes for you. It's 5 months after he bought the clothes, you are wearing it. Pastor Samson, I'm correct. John, please, are you hearing what I'm saying? When a man, you know, when a woman serves you food and you take one spoon, she wants you to stand up and say thank you. That's not, when you want to say thank you to a man, make a special time. It's not that the way a woman didn't even open the gift, she has started thanking you. That's not a man. And when we meet, there are other ways of showing appreciation. When we meet. What is this? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The way you appreciate a man is different from the way. Women think that because of the way you just say, thank you. That's not appreciation to a man. Your appreciation to a man is in your attitude. A man cannot do certain things for you, and that same day you are insulting him, you are saying certain things to him, you are not grateful. At least suspend this, your bad behavior, for 2 weeks so that I can just feel that you are grateful. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you know that most men know when their wives want something? When your wife wants something, she will cook. She will cook your food, your special meal. She will become nice. That's when she wants to be nice. And many men know it. So some men might even ask you, what do you want? Because they already know. Praise God. So, romance. Men are not very romantic. Sorry, especially African men like this. They are not very romantic. I can see that Jesse is trying to be romantic. We appreciate Jesse for trying to be romantic. But most African men are not. Are you getting me? And some that are not publicly. Some are romantic, but they are not romantic in public. Their romance is private. And the women of today want Facebook romance. Even when they are exchanging blows, just put me on this thing. Some are not romantic publicly. And many times what women call romance has to add some publicity to the romance. And somebody said something. He said, if you have to have external validation, are you understanding what I'm saying? I can take a video of a romantic time, but I don't have to post it. I can keep it for memory. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But when everything we have to do it publicly. Something is not wrong with you, the person. There's an insecurity you are feeding. There's something you want, you need people to know. You still have a question?
Firstly, what happens when the man you are planning to get married to has his own opinions, which is not willing, and he is not willing to compromise on it? And on the other hand, I see it as a pattern that my mom suffered from. Secondly, we have not been able to agree. Can I go ahead, sir? Secondly, we have not been able to agree on the issue of family visiting after marriage. He thinks it's okay. He thinks it's okay for his family to visit anytime. And honestly, I don't want to start what I can't go on with till forever.
Yeah, I like this kind of question. Question that somebody asks and answers.
Lastly, he's not open with the idea of adoption. Meanwhile, I have this particular phobia for childbearing. We have had this conversation and he has been reassuring. But deep down, I think it will end up being an issue because he's a family kind of a man. These are the issues and we have decided to hold on and be sure of what we want.
You made the best decision. Hold on. Hold on, no. Is there a song with hold on inside? Hold on, no. The differences are too many. The differences required a full Supreme Court justices to sit and resolve this matter. Hold on. Hold on. And as you are holding on, you may need to even be. You see what I began by telling you about this culture, Timba? His family can visit any time. I didn't have time to deal with in-laws issues. In-law issues, one of the major issues in marriage. One of the major issues in marriage. Because that living that Jesus said, it doesn't happen one day. So the question is answered. Let's go to the next question.
You said a man first needs a wife. Please, sir, what is a wife?
Does he want the abridged version or the full version of who a wife is? A wife is first and foremost a matured lady, biologically, emotionally, spiritually. No marries spiritual baby or wife. Staying long, having been in church for a long time does not make you spiritually mature. Aging is automatic, maturity is not. The women folk, don't be offended. I have discovered that because of the desperation to marry, many women are more concerned about how they look physically outside than how they look spiritually. So most of the time, we marry spiritual babies as wives. And that thing is the first problem that begins to happen in a home. It's the reason why, now let me not say, it's not every girl that marries a pastor that is also spiritually mature. But it's the reason why many women don't want to marry serious brothers in church. It's the reason. Because of the spiritual disciplines that the brothers come along with, they don't want to subject themselves to it. So, a woman must be matured emotionally. Before you call somebody a woman, she must be matured emotionally, spiritually, biologically, and even psychologically. Psychologically meaning that there are a lot of people that are not psychologically mature. Let me tell you, many of the fights that you have is lack of maturity. You're just dealing with an immature person. When I was talking about things about communication, part of it is immaturity. It's just, you see, and maturity happens when a person has cultivated his life intellectually and otherwise. You see, an intellectual person can accept an opinion he does not like but is correct. That is that you can say, this thing is right, even though it's not comfortable for me, but it is right. That is somebody who is mature. A person that is immature, whether it's right or whether it's not right, or if it's uncomfortable for the person, it is wrong. That person is not mature. So, first definition of a woman is somebody who is emotionally, psychologically, biologically, and spiritually mature. Unless that person has arrived at that point, that person is not ready for marriage. It's not a wife. Are you understand what I'm saying? Number two, I said it at the first time I started teaching this thing. I said that there is a mindset that you must have to be a husband. And there is a mindset you must have to be a wife. Example, simple. If you are not ready to submit to a man, you are not ready to marry. You are not ready for marriage yet. So, if you, a woman must be somebody who is ready to be submissive. Just like a man must also be a man, a person who is ready to love. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Yes. A woman, what is the question? I know that it has to do with the, who is a woman? Who is a wife? A wife must be somebody who is ready to build a home. Must be ready to build a home. Home building is a very skillful work that a woman does. The Bible says a wise woman builded her own house. So building the home, let me tell you something. When you walk into a house, a home, the atmosphere of that home tells you about the woman, not the man. You didn't get what I said. The atmosphere of a home is the woman, not the man. Have you entered a home and felt unwelcomed? Is the woman. Have you entered a home and felt order? Is the woman. Have you entered a home and enjoyed provision? Is the woman. Have you entered a home and felt the place looks nice? Oh, when I went to Matilda's house one time, I said, Matilda, you're not a good person. Look at the way your house is so nice like this. You know, you didn't come and fix church like this. When I entered Matilda's house, very nice. I love the way she put that. She put flowers inside pile of flower they grew. You enter some house, there are some places you go, 9 out of 10. Pillow is here, poo is over there. This is not. And young girls, listen to me. Those of you that are singles, listen to me. Learn the art of making it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Learn the art of making it. Let me tell you. If your husband doesn't like staying at home, 75% of the reason will be you. If your husband doesn't like home, 75% of the time, maybe the reason. And let me tell you, there are a lot of men that are, they are enduring the house they are living. They are enduring the house they are.
I wish I had time to talk to you about character and attitude. Some of you have good character but have a bad attitude. Let me tell you something. There is no way. Listen to me. I'm teaching you something. Your husband comes home. You know for good reason, whatever time he came home, you are still lying down in your bed. Tell him that you point like this, your food is on this. You don't even know how to receive your husband. A man is received. See, let me tell you something. When you write WAEC, what they require from you is 5 credits minimum. It's minimum. You can do minimum and nobody can say anything to you. Or you can be outstanding also. There are people who got 9 A1s. Your husband comes into that home. Let your husband look forward to coming home. Listen to me. There are some things our mothers knew that this generation does not know. You have Americanized honor. Your husband eats from the same plate with your children. An African man. Something you know. When you grew up, even the cup your father drinks from, nobody drinks from it. It is a culture of honor. It's a culture of honor. You don't bring food to your husband on a plate. You have children or people who are helping. Your husband comes home. Even if it's not going to be you, say, put water for your father to have his bath. It's a culture of honor. But if you do it, you are blessed. In case you don't know, your husband can bless you. Because a part of your husband's assignment in the home is that he's a priest. That is why the husband is a covering. You know, on Sunday I was saying something to people that you don't understand. Especially for those of you women who the husband is the major breadwinner. Do you know that there are men who will go to work, they will insult them. They will swallow the insult because they know that if they don't swallow the insult, you will not eat. I want to ask you a question. How many men do you see that dress well? How many? Especially those ones that don't earn much. How many have you seen that are dressing well? When you look at the way a woman will dress, and the way a man will dress. Because the glory of the man is the woman. You see a man's wealth in his woman, in the life of the woman. You see, are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't know how to build a home, you have no business in marriage. And I'm saying this, especially to these young women of this generation. And especially to church girls. Because an average church brother will not beat his wife. There are many things an average church brother will not do. And you know, one of the differences between men and women is that women are more calculative than men. A man or a woman already knows what you will do and what you will not do. So she can punch you under the belt and she knows you will not shout. Because if you shout, pastor will call you. But let me tell you something. Let me say this. I will not say it. Any other question?
I am about 10 years older than this lady, and she is over submissive and respectful. I wish I can see how she acts when angry or try to question my opinion, or it never happens. This is our 1 year and 5 months in a relationship, and I am already planning of getting married to her. I am 30 years old.
That means she's 20. Now, what is she know? She just graduated from secondary school 2 years. She's just afraid of you. You're her elder brother's friend. Listen to me. I've seen very, very good women. Very, very good. I've seen women that you want to say, but let me tell you, there's nothing like an over-submissive wife. You know why? First and foremost, she is not in a condition to submit. So we don't even know whether what you are calling submission is submission, or she's just afraid of you, or she wants to marry. We don't know. We don't know. When you will marry after 3 years, please come back and ask me this question. It will be a better time to answer it. Because now, if I begin to answer you, I'm... So, let me not start question now. You have finished. That's the last question. So, we have not yet known. We don't know yet. What? Let me tell you the truth. I've taught it before. Men marry women thinking they will not change. And they change. There's one thing you can be sure about a woman. She will change. Marries a man thinking he will change. As he was,
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.